Wednesday night. We're not weary, are we? No. I know it's March, all right, but we got 9 more months, guys, before Matt Judd reinvents himself again. So, my name is Harry. These are my parents, and I apologize on their behalf most days. No, but I love them, and this is my church is where I grew up, and I've been off at school, as a lot of you guys know. And it's really sad. Every Sunday morning, I think about you guys, and it's really tough. And I'm not telling you this, you know, to make you feel better. Really, a lot of Sunday mornings, I have to like pull myself out of bed. I'm like, I'm not at Good News today, and so I've had to redefine what I'm looking for in a church. I can't base my, you know, the church I'm looking for off of you guys. And so I have found a good church called Victory Christian Center or something along those lines. Victory is what I call it. It's across the street from where I go to school. And it has over 10,000 members. So it's a little bit different than Good News Church. Unless something's happened while I've been gone. People piled out in the lobbies coming to listen. No, but it's just a crazy thing. And a lot of good stuff's going on out in Tulsa. But I have to tell you something, there's a lot of good stuff going on here in Augusta. And sometimes you don't realize what you got until you're, you know, 15 hours away, you know. And so I just encourage you to appreciate the people that are around you, appreciate your pastors and leaders here, appreciate the people you sit next to, because something special is going on here at Good News Church. And while I'm being grateful and generous, this is my roommate, Faron. Faron, you can stand, yeah. And Faron, he was born in Pakistan, and he actually lives in Saudi Arabia. His father got a job in Saudi Arabia, and so he's been living there for a while. And his parents, they pastor, and they have churches in Saudi Arabia and Pakistan. And these are Muslim nations, guys. And Faron and his family are in the thick of it. And it's quite amazing. When I visited ORU about a year ago now, I was with a guy. I was set up to be with a guy, and evidently he didn't like me and didn't want to be with me. No, that's not what happened. He was busy. And so he said, you can stay the night in Faron's room. And so I'm thinking, you know, who's this Faron guy? So I go in there. I meet Faron. Faron's a very friendly, welcoming, hospitable person. And so I didn't have any clothes. I didn't have a toothbrush or toothpaste. I didn't have a sleeping bag. I didn't have anything. And that's another story. But I came, and Faron gave me everything I needed that one night that I stayed with him. He prayed for me. He told me, God's going to supply for you to come to ORU if this is where you're supposed to be. And he is the reason I'm at ORU. And so just, this is an amazing guy, and I encourage you to shake his hand, to kiss him on the cheek. You know, he loves that. And and while we're talking about, you know, this, my mother, for my birthday, she posted on Faron's wall to Faron to come and give me a kiss for her. And, you know, on my birthday, Faron was going to come. And so I saw that this posted, so I was ready. I was prepared. Faron came up. He didn't kiss me on the lips, thank the Lord, but he kissed me on the cheek. He greeted me with a holy kiss. He pulled a Judas, and he betrayed me. No. And so he obeyed my mother's orders. But so he's a great guy. If you want one of those kisses after service, he'll be right over here. All right. Before we get any deeper into that, let me take a drink of water. So tonight I want to talk about something. Growing up, a lot of you guys knew me when I was growing up, a very shy kid. And I was very good. I grew up and I learned a lot about how to listen. All right. And most of it, I got to be honest with you, it wasn't, I don't think I would like thought about it and, you know, was really calculated about, you know, I'm going to learn to listen and listen to what people are saying. I think it was more out of fear and out of shyness. I didn't want to talk. So just naturally, if you're not talking, a lot of times you can listen. Now, that's not always true. But a lot of times, if you're not talking, most likely you're listening. And so as I grew up, I really got good at listening. And I have found, as I've gotten older, that listening is a valuable skill. right? And really, a lot of people don't ever listen, is what I really found out. I know when I went off to school, like when I get into a new social setting, I am not Mr. Excited, Mr., you know, outgoing. And so my just natural response is just to listen and just to, you know, kind of be one of those people who makes jokes off of other people's jokes. And I'm the guy, you know, we got this whole room of people all at a party. I'm the guy over in the corner, you know, talking about everybody at the party, right? And so that's just kind of how I fit into a social setting. And then I realized everybody else around me, they love to talk. So I'm out of school, I'm listening to people, and all these other people love to talk. And if I didn't say anything, they were just going to keep talking. So what I did, guys, I did something really crazy. I started to speak up and started to say things. And then I realized I like to hear my own voice, right? You guys know this. I know you know this because I hear your voice all the time. And we like to hear our own voice, so I started talking a lot. And then God convicted me about it and said, hey, man, less talking, more listening, ask people questions. That's what it's about. And so tonight that's what I want to talk about. Less talking, more listening. Okay, this is going to be good, all right? I hope it's good. Lord, help us. You know, you think about listening is really us yielding. It's us giving our attention to something. And listening a lot of times is a way that we learn. It's a way that we hear, we figure out what's going on around in the world around us. And I'm convinced that if people just decided to start listening, it would solve a lot of their problems. Because a lot of us want to be in the know about stuff. We want to know what's going on. We want to know what we should be doing with our life. We want to know what God's plan is for us. And part of the problem is we do so much talking that we don't ever let God in our lives. I'll give you just a simple example. My brother is a great talker, and most of y'all know that. My brother Grayson is a fantastic talker. And a lot of times I'll be talking with someone at home, like I'll be talking to my mom, you know, we'll be telling stories, this or that. And Grayson will be over in the corner, he'll be over there texting or doing whatever. Well, all of a sudden out of nowhere, Grayson will try to jump in the middle of the conversation. It's so funny, though, because most of the times he has no idea what he's saying or what we're talking about. So he just inserts, oh, you're talking about this, and he just starts talking, and we both look at him like, are you silly? No, have you even been listening? We've been talking about this, and you jump in. Do you guys know those people? Are you guys one of those people? Oh, don't raise your hand. Yeah, Kyle, okay. And if a lot of times, I just tell Kristen, if you would just listen, you wouldn't have to jump in and ask us what we're talking about. You wouldn't have to interrupt the situation. You wouldn't have to interrupt the moment. You could just yield to what's going on, be a part of what's going on, and not make a big mess of things. And I think a lot of times with our relationship with God, if we would just listen a little bit more, a lot less talking, just a little bit more listening, we could hear not only what he's telling us to do, but we could hear what's going on with people around us. It would open up doors for ministry. Amen. All right, y'all are listening to me pretty good. You can respond a little bit. And there's a scripture, all right? There is a scripture about listening, okay? This is not Harry Judd's opinions tonight. In James 1:19, it's somewhere in the Bible. James after Hebrews. Yeah, there we go, NLT. It says, James is writing. He says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. That's a good one to meditate on. That's not a scripture we like to read. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. So what is James saying? He's saying, less talking, guys, more listening. And I personally believe this isn't just in our relationship with God, but I also believe this is our relationships with each other. If we would just be quick to listen, be slow to speak, it would solve a lot of our problems. You know? This is not a good percentage. A lot of ministry, I'm not good with percentages, y'all, so I don't even know why I try to make them up anymore. A lot of ministry is simply just listening to people. How many times have we jumped into a situation and we're trying to minister to a friend or such and such, and we just jump in there, we tell them everything we know, right? We rattle off, you know, our 10 favorite scriptures, this and that. And then by the time we're done, we realize that we didn't even know what their problem was. They're not even open to what we're saying. They don't even really care. And so a lot of times we're just wasting our time. And so we don't know how to meet people with where they're at because we're not listening. Recently I was out on the streets and I was with some of my friends and they had a guy that they were getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I hadn't been there at the beginning of this, so I didn't know exactly how they initiated this whole deal. But there was a young guy, 17, 18 years old. And they come over to me and tell me, Harry, this guy over here wants to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I said, wow, that's great. And they said, yeah, we prayed for him. We've been doing, we told him, we explained everything to him, this and that. And, you know, he's not getting it. Well, I said, okay, well, you know, let's figure this out. So I go over, I grab the guy. They had surrounded him, right? So, you know, one guy, and we just have this whole crowd of people around him, and that's just freaky already. But I just grabbed the guy, and I was like, here, let's go over here and talk. So I just begin to ask the guy some questions. You know, what have they been saying to you? You know, do you understand what's going on? Do you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit? This whole speaking in tongues thing doesn't make any sense. Come to find out, the guy didn't really want it. He was just kind of interested, was just, you know, kind of going along with what they're doing. So here, you know, these believers are. They're trying to minister to the guy. They're all zealous. They're all passionate. And they have no idea that the guy isn't on the same page. And that whole problem would have been solved if we had just listened, right? And I think a lot of our ministry stuff, we would find out if we just listened a little bit more, we would know what to do, what to say, where to go, all this sort of stuff. Now, let's talk about listening as along the terms of with God. Listening, if it's yielding to God, if it's hearing from God, if it's obeying God, then that means it has to become a part of our lives. It has to be something that we give time to, we give attention to. Listening doesn't just happen automatically. Now, I've learned something in school about passive listeners and active listeners, right? Passive listeners are people who are very good at just sitting there with a blank face and just being there and being present and letting people talk. So you could be passive listening right now with me, and I would have no idea. But passive listening is also a skill. I think fathers learn this when they have little kids. They become very good, or they have wives. You become a very good passive listener, right? No offense. No offense to wives. It happens both ways. And but, right, we love to do this passive listening where, oh, yeah, I get what you're saying, right? Then there's this thing called active listening. This is when we're participating in conversation. We're giving feedback. We're nodding our head. We're engaged. We're on the same page. And so a lot of times with God, I feel like we're passive listeners, right? Oh, yeah, God, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. But I'm going to go over here and do my thing, right? All right, yeah, God, I know what you're saying. But I'm going to go over here and do my thing, right? I'm just going to go over here and work this out all by myself, right? And then we get to, I don't know why I hid, but got your attention. We do that, and then we wonder where is God at? Why don't I hear his voice? Why isn't he speaking to me? You know, why did this happen? Well, here's the problem. The whole time you're, yeah, I know what you're saying, God. Yeah, I know. I got it figured out, God. Yeah, God, I understand. Yeah. And so we end up way out in the middle of nowhere. We're out there on our own. We don't know what's going on. It feels like God isn't there. It feels like he's not present. It feels like we don't hear his voice. But the whole time, we've just been passive listening to God. When an active listener of God will just stand there and say, okay, God, what do you have to say? Okay. All right, what does that mean, God? Explain it to me more. I need more help. I need more clarity. Active listening is me talking to God and hearing his voice, asking him questions. And this takes place in times of prayer. This takes place, hopefully, when we come to church. This takes place, hopefully, when we're reading our Bible, is that we are engaging with God, and it's not just a one-sided thing. And so that right there is something I've been learning to do in my own life. This semester when I went back to school, guys, I did something really crazy. You guys ready for this? I said, I've always wanted to do this. Really, about a couple of years ago, like I felt like God dealt with me about doing. I said, yeah, God, okay. He was dealing with me about waking up early in the morning and praying. All right, and this is not to be like super spiritual or to, you know, be religious. It was just dealing with me, and I would have these moments where God would be doing it. I'd say, yeah, I know, God, I know. But I finally set out this year, one of the things I was going to do was I was going to get up in the morning and pray. All right. So as a college student, your life is you stay up super late and you wake up super late and you kind of make it through your day and then you stay up super late and then you wake up super late. Right, most of you guys know what I'm talking about, right? And I had to make the decision that I was going to start going to bed early so I could wake up early so I could pray. And I was going to get up and pray at 7 in the morning, which is not fun when you're in college. You know, when the people next door to me are staying up till 3 a.m., 4 a.m. playing video games, keeping me awake, right? So I started doing that this semester. And at first it was difficult, but I got into a routine, and it was amazing. Every morning, getting up, going to our prayer tower, and having time alone with God. Now, something I learned very quickly is that at 7 a.m., Harry is not awake. So a lot of times in prayer time, it would just be me in there, you know, just kind of like, thank you, Father. Right? And I just would kind of pass out in there. There's a lot of times I would just sleep on the floor, to be honest, if I'm being completely honest with you. But I was there. I made it. But I learned something. I learned something in all this time about praying is that so often when we pray, we do so much talking, we do so much begging, we're quoting as many scriptures as we can, we're speaking in tongues for hours, right? And I learned something about listening in times of prayer, that it was a conversation. I heard a story about Brother Hagen, who's someone that who's impacted our ministry, impacted my parents, and a lot of stuff we teach here is from a guy named Brother Hagen. And I heard that one time he was staying in a minister's house. He was speaking at their church, and he was staying with the pastors of this church. And they had come in one morning, and he had been up early praying, and they heard him pray, and it was the weirdest thing. They were so confused. They would hear Brother Hagin say something, and then they would hear him talk. I mean, then they would hear him stop talking, and then they would hear him say something again, and then they would hear him stop talking. And then they got closer and listened to what he was saying, and he was having a conversation. He was saying something to God, and then he would stop, and he would listen. He would say, yeah, 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 and then he would say something else. And so Brother Hagin, he would actually have a dialogue with God. But how rare is that among us Christians? Oftentimes, our times of prayer are just our times of complaining, our times of pleading with God, begging, and it's very rarely active listening, talking, communicating. You know, and so these 7 a.m. sessions with God, I learned. Frankly, I didn't have enough words to say, so I couldn't talk the whole time. I was too tired to talk. So maybe this is a good idea for some of you who like to talk a lot. I was just too tired at 7 a.m. to do a lot of talking. So I started to listen a lot. And so I wake up at 7 a.m. and I had my journal, and I began to write down all this stuff God was saying. And some mornings I would go in there and I would talk more. Some mornings I would go in there and I wouldn't say anything. And why? Because I was learning to listen. And I found that as I'm learning to listen, that God actually is speaking to me on a daily basis. Some of us think God speaks once in a blue moon. But God is actually wants to be a part of our lives on a day-to-day basis. But the question is, are we listening? And then we get upset when the thing doesn't go right, or when God's not there, or why did this happen? And it would have been all avoided if we had just listened. And so I'm going to show you that, guys. I'm going to show you that in the scriptures. Let's turn to Acts 27. I hope this is making a little bit of sense for you right now. Listening is key. It's key to what God has for us to do. It's key to relationships. It's key to our ministries. And in Acts 27, we see the story about Paul, the Apostle Paul. He is bound and he's in chains, and they're taking him to Rome. And they've been getting him on ships, taking him from place to place, and it's not going so well, all right? There's been storms. It's kind of like life. You go here, and it's not going so hot. You go here, it's not going so hot. It's kind of an up-and-down roller coaster. This is what's been happening. And in Acts 27, we pick up here in verse 9 or so. Do you guys have that back there? This is Luke writing, and he says, "We had lost a lot of time. The weather was becoming dangerous for sea travel because it was so late in the fall, and Paul spoke to the ship's officers about it." So Paul's a prisoner. He says, "Men," he said, "I believe there is trouble ahead if we go on, shipwreck, loss of cargo, and danger to our lives as well." But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than to Paul. And we'll just stop right there for a second. The officer is the person who's in charge of this voyage. He's the one who's in charge of this ship. He's the one who's calling the shots. And now Paul, a prisoner, he is coming to the officer and he's saying, "I don't think we should be moving this ship. I think we should stay put." And let's see, the officer, he doesn't listen to Paul. He listens to the ship's captain and to the owner. And let's see what happens. And since Fair Havens was an exposed harbor, a poor place to spend the winter, most of the crew wanted to go on. So not only is he just listening to the captain of the ship, but he's listening to the whole crew that wants to go on to Phoenix, farther up the coast, and spend the winter there. Phoenix was a good harbor with only a southwest and northwest exposure, all right? And next slide. When a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it, so they pulled up anchor and sailed close to the shore of Crete. So they've left the harbor. They're going for it. They're not listening to Paul. They're listening to everybody else. But the weather changed abruptly, and a wind of typhoon strength called a northeaster caught the ship and blew it out to sea. They couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. Don't you guys like all these shippery terms, whatever? Nautical, that's the word. We sailed along the sheltered side of a small island named Cauda, where with great difficulty we hoisted aboard the lifeboat being towed behind us. Then the sailors bound ropes around the hull of the ship to strengthen it. They were afraid of being driven across to the sandbars of Syrtis off the African coast, so they lowered the sea anchor to slow the ship and were driven before the wind. So a lot of stuff's going on, and we're about to finish this. The next day, as gale force winds continue to batter the ship, the crew began throwing the cargo overboard. So it's getting pretty rough, all right? They're freaking out. Verse 20. The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars until at last all hope was gone. Sounds like life every once in a while, right? All hope is gone. We can't see. No one had eaten for a long time. It's getting real desperate. People aren't eating. Finally, Paul said, and this is what I want to get to this. Paul called the crew together and said, men, you should have listened to me in the first place. Men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. You would have avoided all this damage and all this loss. And what does it say? But take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship's going to go down. And we can stop right there. What is this story, Harry? I don't really know. What is this story? Paul told this captain, he told the officer, he said, don't leave, stay put. Now, the officer chose to listen to the knowledgeable people. He chose to listen to the voice of the world. He chose to listen to the voice of the crew. And he goes for it. He leaves harbor. All right? He leaves. Then they get out there and it's going okay. It's going good. But then all of a sudden, it said abruptly, a wind came. And then hell just started breaking loose. And then you guys saw where it got dark and they couldn't see. They don't know what's going on. And then they don't have any food. They're not eating. All right? And then Paul says, hey, guys, just interrupt this moment for a second. You guys should have listened to me. I told you so, right? I told you so. And if you had listened to me, we wouldn't have been in all this trouble in the first place. Now, do you guys see a little parallel with life and with us listening to God? So often, I saw this today. So often, we get out from the shore. We get out on the ocean, on the seas. And hell starts breaking loose, and then all of a sudden we freak out at God. God, what did you do? We start throwing cargo overboard, we stop eating, you know, we just go into panic mode, right? And then God is there in the middle of it, because he's in the middle, he's always with us. He's right there in the middle of it, said, hey, you should have just listened to me. It's going to be okay, but we could have, you know, saved a lot of trouble if you just listened to me in the first place. And I feel like so often with us as believers, if we just would listen to God in the first place, we wouldn't have to deal with all the trouble, with all the heartache. Isn't that good? Also this, you guys know about how in James it talks about that the tongue is the rudder of our lives. Basically, if we just imagine all of us as ships, as his boats, right? Okay, just use your imagination for a second here. That the tongue is what guides our lives. It directs us. It's... where I'm going is based on the words I'm speaking and what I'm saying. That's where I'm going to end up. And so if you just imagine me as a boat today, my tongue would be guiding me and directing me. But in this story, we see this ship, we see this boat, and we see that they failed to listen. And so they leave the harbor. The ship leaves the harbor. It goes. It's going on its own. And now they start trying to direct it. Now they start trying to figure out where to go, what to do, all this stuff. And this metaphor right here. So often in life, we don't listen to God in the first place, and we get out there on the sea, we get our boats out there on the sea, we get going, and now we start using our tongue trying to direct ourselves. We start trying to use our faith. Oh, you know, we haven't listened to God, now we start trying to use our faith and try to work it out on our own, right? Like, I'm not going to listen to God. I'm just going to go and get a new job and do my own thing. Then I get this new job. I get there. It's not going so hot. Now I start using my confession, my faith, and now I'm asking God, please bless this. God, what's the matter? Give me a new job. Give me a promotion, all this stuff. When if we had just listened to him in the first place, we wouldn't have needed to go and get the new job. We could have just been patient. He says, hey, just stay put a little bit longer. We wouldn't have been in all the trouble. But now we're using our faith over here. We're using our faith over there. We're using our tongue. We're trying to direct the ship when God said, stay put. But we weren't listening. Ooh, that's good stuff, Harry Judd. No, guys. That's the Holy Spirit. But seriously, right? I mean, I'm just being honest. I like to be honest with people. How often? I do that all the time, right? We go out, we get our boat out of the harbor, and we are going for it, and God's not in it at all. And then we start to learn all these, we start using all these Christian principles that we found in this book, and we start to hold fast to our faith, hold fast to our confession, when we never heard from God in the first place. You know? And this is what's so great in that story. None of those people died. None of them lost their lives. And that's the grace of God. That's the mercy of God. They could have just as easily, all of them died and been shipwrecked, you know, killed. Except for Paul, of course, right? Because, you know, he's God's chosen, right? No. They all could have just easily because they disobeyed the command. But God in his grace takes care of us. But they could have saved themselves a lot of trouble, a lot of time. And that's just what I want to really just encourage you, encourage myself. I'm about to tell some stories that go along this line. But just in your life, make listening a part of what you're doing. Less talking, more listening. And that might be challenging. You might have to bite your tongue every now and again when you're talking to people or when you're talking to God. And in a time of prayer, you might have to bite your tongue because it's so easy just to get the talking, just to get the saying, stuff that you've always thought, just to start complaining, just to even to get scriptures and start saying scriptures instead of going to God. Last semester, okay, I'm about to tell some stuff on myself, okay? This is a safe place, right? Is this a safe place?
Safe place.
Okay, safe place. Hi, I'm Harry. Exactly, this is a safe harbor. And this is where my ship is currently in this harbor, and I'm going to tell you guys some stuff, okay? I'm going to tell you some good stories and some bad stories. Is that okay? And we will start with the bad. So last semester, I don't know why I'm sharing this, but last semester, I went out to ORU, and I was excited. And when I got out there, I was a nobody. I was not, you know, a pastor's kid. I was not, you know, in Augusta, or I didn't have my group of friends, so I'm a nobody. I'm out there meeting new people, and it's great. It was awesome, right? And but a little into my journey out there, a little into my voyage, I was getting sidetracked. I was getting distracted. And you guys know, you guys all grew up once upon a time. You guys know that you can get distracted a lot of times by people, and a lot of times it's by people of the opposite sex, right? Am I right? And so, any witnesses? No? Okay, just me. Houston, help me out, man. Houston really should give this message, to be honest. No, I started liking this girl that I knew. And, you know, it wasn't a big deal. And I'm never that guy who's like out there, Mr. Suave, trying to win people's hearts. Nothing like that. I'm the, you know, person in the corner once again. I told you this, person in the corner, you know, kind of, you know, like sort of a stalker. No, just kidding. I'm joking. But so I like this girl. And I didn't hear from God about anything. I mean, I'm being completely honest. I didn't want to talk to God about this because I knew deep down I wasn't really supposed to be involved in anything. And so I just began to pursue her a little bit. And you guys know, you young people know, a lot of times that involves texting people and, a lot of it. Just we call talking nowadays. You guys, old people, know that term, talking. So I was doing that type of thing. I wasn't talking to you. I was talking over here. I'm sorry. Forgive me. But so I was into that, and I knew though in my heart this wasn't the right thing. Deep down, if I was being honest with myself, it wasn't what I was supposed to be doing. It was a distraction. Nothing was wrong with the girl. It was just my heart, what I was doing. And so I just like battled it. But, I want this, God. Like, can I please, I want, everybody else can have a girlfriend, but not me. Not everyone grew up in the household where you can't date. And so now I'm out of the household. Please, Lord, just let me, just this one thing. But I knew deep down I wasn't going to get away with it or do this, right? And so it was kind of a battle, though, because I was trying to make something happen. And I'll just throw this in here, right? This is just free right here. If you are having to convince yourself of something or talk yourself into something, and you're not really talking to other people about it because you're embarrassed or ashamed, but you're having to talk yourself into it, it's probably not God. Write that down. It's probably not God if you're having to talk yourself into it or convince yourself to do it, And so that's what I was doing. And so I knew from the beginning, this isn't God, but I just stuck with it. And then we get ourselves, right, we jump in, and now we're in. And now we have to get out of it, right? But it's difficult. And so I had to, kind of break things off with this person. And this is annoying, Like, why do we do this to people? Why do we go through all the heartbreak and all the trouble? But I did, praise the Lord. It was a good decision. And so I came back this Christmas break and I said, I'm not doing that again. And over that semester, I knew I was supposed to be starting a discipleship group. But I was over here doing this, and I was over here doing that, and I was over here with her and this, and I was off course. I wasn't listening to God, wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. So I came back, was with all of you guys, and I got stirred up again. And I went out there, and I started a discipleship group called the 70, based on Luke 10, Jesus sent out 70, no name people, sends them out to heal the sick, to preach the gospel. And I said, I want to do this at ORU. And so I started talking about the group. I said, I'm going to do it. I committed to it, and I started telling people about it. And then all these people came out of the woodworks who wanted to be a part. And so I finally managed to get a time to meet. I met with people, and I was surprised about the support and surprised about how interested people were. And so I would just get up there. I would talk about things that we talk about here a lot. I was telling them, you're going to hear from God. You're going to learn how to preach the gospel. You're going to learn how to lay hands on the sick. You're going to learn how to get people filled with the Spirit. You're going to learn how to disciple others. And so just really making some crazy statements. Now, first semester, I've been distracted off course with this girl. Now, second semester, I'm over here. I've actually heard from God, and I'm actually going for what I'm supposed to be going for. And it's working. It's so much easier to be in God's will than to not be. I have to tell you that. It's just so much better. So why do we ever even deal with the other stuff? Why do we even give that a second or a time, any place in our lives? But so I'm starting this group, going for it, and it's gaining ground. People are coming. Then I decide, hey, let's start taking people out on the streets. And so I didn't necessarily hear from God about this. It was just something, it seemed right. It seemed like what we were supposed to be doing. So we started going down the streets into Tulsa. I went to some areas, rough neighborhoods that a lot of people are afraid to go to. I said, that's where we're going. And so we go out there, guys, and people are being saved. People are being healed. You guys heard this story. There was a girl that we met, and I was with two guys. One of the guys, I had gotten filled with the Spirit back in September. He went back home. He got this other guy filled with the Spirit. And so now we're standing three generations of this, me, him, him. And we're talking to some girls about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So they're telling their stories. We're explaining to all this stuff to them. And this one of these girls is like, I'm not doing this. I know that, you know, if I go along with you guys and what you're saying, I know something crazy is going to happen, so I am not going along with this today. And she kept saying that. Something crazy, something weird is going to happen, so I just feel it. I just know, and I'm not going to let you guys pray for me. I'm not going to let that happen. Well, we basically just convinced this girl to just let us pray for her, you know, let us just see what happens, okay? So we started ministering to her. And, you know, we pray and ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit, ask for this gift. And then we start, you know, just praying in tongues, and we're laying our hands on her. We're praying in tongues. And, she says, like, okay, something's going on. So I'm listening, keyword, I'm listening to her. I ask her questions, what's going on? You feel anything? What's going on? She says, I kind of feel something. I said, well, you got to speak out by faith. So next thing I know, we start praying for her again. This girl starts screaming in tongues. And to the point where, you know, she's having to stop it. I've never had this happen before. This is out in the middle of a neighborhood. This is not in your local church. This is out in the neighborhood. This girl, she starts having this encounter with God. Now, I calm her down. We, you know, okay, you can control this. You know, you don't have to be so crazy, all right? And so next thing I know, I'm asking her more questions, and she comes to respond, and all that comes out is tongues. And it was so awesome. I'm laughing over there, right? So funny. Then I have her stop again. I'm like, you know, you can control this. Well, some other people walk up, and they're asking her questions, talking to her. And she goes, so once again, starts speaking to them, and nothing but tongues is coming out. This girl just had an experience with God. Now then, in the middle of all this, there was another girl there, and the girl that we administer starts saying to this other girl, he just told me that you need this too. He just told me that you need what I got. I'm one of his disciples. This girl starts prophesying, all right? I've never seen this before. And this was just out on the streets. This was all just simply me making a decision to follow God, to do what he says, to not get distracted over here, and to follow him, start this group. We're going to go out. We're going to do this thing. This was fruit of that, fruit of me listening. And this girl's life was changed. I'm going to tell you some other stories. One of these days, I was eating breakfast in the neighborhood. I was at a diner, and the people that were coming into the diner, I was just looking at them, just looking at these people. I had compassion on them. And I said, we got to come back to this area. It's a street called Peoria. It has a reputation in the city for not being the best place. I said, we got to come to Peoria. So I went to my dorm room, wrote that down on a sticky note, stuck it on the wall, Peoria. That's where we're going. And so Saturday came around, got people piled in the cars, and we're going to Peoria. So we get there, we pull in to this neighborhood, we get out there, and we just start going for it, right? Hey, you know, we're from ORU, we want to pray for people, you need prayer for anything. So I come up on these two guys, I had bottled water, and I said, hey, you guys want bottled water? And one of the guys was like, yeah, thank you so much. You know, it's hot out here, I'm thirsty, so he takes a bottle of water. The other guy that's there, I don't know if he didn't like me or what, but he was not okay with what I was doing. And so I have just learned about doing this on the streets that there's a thing called boldness and persistence. And so even if people don't like you or kind of being a little bit, you know, not really going with what you're doing, you just kind of stick with it. So I just stick with these two guys. I'm just talking to them, asking if they need prayer for him. And the guy who took the bottled water, his name was Russell. The other guy's name was, hear me now, his name was Killa. So Killa is over here. He is not having what I'm doing at all. He doesn't like me. Russell is over here. He's on board. He's listening. He's engaged. And so I start presenting the gospel. Russell is on the same page. Killa over here, he don't like what I'm saying. Now, with a name like Killa, that, you know, you might run, but I just stuck with it, right? And so I'm just talking to these guys, and Killa, he starts saying, oh, no, none of that stuff can be true. How can we know? There's no evidence. And so I started telling them stories. Well, if you don't, where Killa was at, he didn't even believe the stories I'm telling him, just nothing. And so I'm frustrated, to be honest with you. I'm a little angry because I look at Russell, he wants it. He wants to hear what I have to say. He wants God, and Killa, he don't want it. So how do I get to Russell? And so here's what I did, and here's just a tip. I just said, hey, Killa, you have any pain in your body? And Killer says, nah, man, I don't want you touching my body. I said, all right, that's cool. I said, Russell, you have pain in your body, right? Please have pain in your body. We need something to happen here, all right? We're desperate for a miracle. He says, yes, I do. I said, it's in your knee. And he says, yes, it is. So we go over. I just lay hands on his knee, all right? And in Jesus' name, knee, you be healed. So I have Russell move the knee around. And so he starts moving around. I said, Russell, what's going on? You know, I'm over there ready. I'm ready to hear a good report, right? We just stuck it to Killa. We just got Killa, right? And Russell says, you know, nothing changed. Well, this is a perfect opportunity to leave and to, you know, to wipe the dust off your feet. Well, you know, you're not in faith, Russell. I'll see y'all. Killa's here. He's not in faith, so it must not be working. God must not be that powerful. So I'm just going to see y'all later, right? This is a good opportunity to leave. But in all my infinite wisdom, I said, Russell, can I pray for you again? I believe Jesus wants to heal that knee, so I'm going to minister again, Russell. So I go down. In Jesus' name, the whole time I'm talking, I hear Killa in the background cussing. In Jesus' name, knee, I command you to be healed. I step back. All right, Russell, move the knee around. All right, this time, guys, this time, something happened. He was a little bit better. Praise the Lord. Right? If God can do a little, he can do a lot. So we got something to work with. So now this time, I said, Russell, I know this is crazy. I know I'm crazy, but I believe that knee is supposed to be all the way healed. Let me pray for you again. So I go down. In Jesus' name, I took a moment now because Killa's just been saying all this stuff. I just took a moment focusing. I'm listening and I'm focused. In Jesus' name, knee, you be healed. You have to be healed. Be healed. So back off. All right, you guys, here's where it gets real good. You guys ready? Climax of the story, right? Russell moves it around. No response. I'm standing there thinking that nothing's happened. I'm defeated now. My tail is in between my legs. We've prayed 3 times. Nothing. So now is a perfect time for Killa to stand on his stage. Ha! It don't work. What you're saying ain't true. This whole God thing's not real. And so that's what he did. And I'm there just taking it. Because, yeah, in this situation, that's what it looks like, to be honest with you. And so, kind of put my head down. One of my other friends were there. They kind of encouraged the guys, and I'm ready to walk off. I'm about to go have a powwow with God because his knee is supposed to be healed. Why is it not healed? Right? I'm serious about this stuff. This knee is supposed to be healed. I read it in this Bible. The knee's supposed to be healed. What's going on? So me and God are about to have a powwow, right? So I'm walking off. And I turn around, and Russell, I'd seen that his girlfriend had pulled up, and he goes over to the car where she's at. And so I kind of look back, and when I do that, Russell goes like this. So I'm like, okay, what now, right? I already did the walk of shame. We're going to make me repeat it. So I walk back over there. When I get to Russell, he's got tears in his eyes, and now I'm confused. What's going on, Russell? He doesn't have any words to say. He's all choked up. So he puts his arm around me. We start walking. All right. This guy just starts sobbing, bawling like a little girl. We sit on the porch. Me with this grown man is just crying. He's got his head in his hand. Crying. And I'm just there just, you know, what happened with Russell? You know, I thought we lost. Right? And so we're there, Russell's crying, and so, you know, I wasn't, none of my training had prepared me for this moment, right? So I stick my arm around the guy. Right, what do you do when they're crying, right? You need to teach me. I'm still learning. He doesn't know. We need to take some classes. But I stick my arm around the guy, and I let him cry. I just sit there and let this guy cry. Grown man, just sobbing. Come to find out, when Russell was a young man, he was a basketball star. And somewhere in all the course of things, he had blew out his knee, messed up his knee, was never able to play basketball again. Everybody that knew Russell knew that he had major knee problems and that he had an issue. And so Russell is sitting here thinking about his whole life. Everything was ruined when that knee went out. Everything. Lost everything. He's sitting there, and in a moment, God has interrupted. God has been involved, got involved with Russell's knee. And so Russell is sitting there crying. That's the only response you have. Just sit there and cry because God is real. He wants to get involved in our lives. He wants to heal us. He wants to provide for us. He wants to be our Father. And Russell, in a moment, just encounters it. So he's sitting there crying. I said, finally, Russell, what's the deal, man? He said, you knew, didn't you? You knew. And I said, what are you talking about? He's like, you knew that I was going to be healed. And I'm over there like, well, not really. I mean, I didn't know that. He said, you knew. And I'm just like, yeah, I knew. he said, when you touched me, something happened in my knee. Not only that, my whole body got warm. Everything heated up. Now, I can't do that. Who can do that? God. Jesus, when he's the healer, he's the one who does that. That's what I told Russell. And he was just sitting there crying like a little baby. He kept saying, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. And right in the middle of all this, Mr. Killer walks up. He comes up to Russell, why are you crying, you big baby? What you crying about? And then Russell's girlfriend walks up. All right. She says, what did you do to him? I said, I just prayed for him, please. I didn't mean to, you know, cause this. I just wanted to pray for his knee. She says, well, you pray for me too. So I go over there and I start praying for her and her baby. And I hear Killa and Russell in the background. Russell saying, oh, it's real, Russell. It's real, man. I'm serious, Russell. Or Killa. Yeah, thank you. Good catch. I'm serious, Killa. And so I come back. Russell, the whole time, just cried. I left him. He was still crying. This guy has an encounter with God. He met Jesus that day. Now, I would never, ever, ever have been in this position with this guy. This would have never happened if I had been with this girl. All right? Start there. If I hadn't started this group, if I hadn't heard from God to go to this street and to go to this neighborhood, I would have never met this guy. Now, just think about our own lives. We in this room have amazing stories, incredible testimonies, and I love it. It's amazing. I'm inspired and encouraged by it. But it is not enough. The stories of the past are not enough for your future. You have more stories, more testimonies on the way, more lives to impact. You have a legacy to leave wherever you go. So you and I, our listening is not just for ourselves. It is for Russell. We are listening today. We are hearing from God today for Russell. And so I just want to encourage you. I know how it is. A lot of times I won't do what God tells me if it's just for me. Like I don't even really care about myself enough to listen to God. You know what I'm saying? But when other people are involved, it's real. And I have to tell you something today, that other people are involved and you're listening. So it's important not just for your ship, it's important for the whole harbor, for all the ships in the harbor, all the ships that are out there on the seas. You need to be hearing for God for your neighbor. You need to be hearing from God about your family, about your friends and the friends of friends and the friends of those friends. It is not enough for you just to live passive Christianity and just to get by and you just to make it to heaven. Well, God, I made it. No. You have a legacy to leave on this earth. There are people who are going to be in heaven because you're around and because you're listening to God. So I just encourage you today, listen in, lean in a little more. And you guys know how to hear from God. You guys know what to do. It's not that. It's just a matter of having the discipline to say, yeah, I'm actually going to do it. And so I'm just telling you, just those few stories. I've got more stories that I love to share, but we're about to wrap this thing up. That listening is worth it and hearing what God says, it's always the right thing. His word is always true and it's always going to be good. And it may not look fun. It may not look exciting. It may not look like what everybody else is doing, but I got to tell you, the payoff is so much better. And when you get up there, oh, we're going to be throwing some parties because thank God we listened to him and we did what he called us to do. Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand. Let's just give God a moment here to speak to us. Let's just listen into what he has to say. Father, I thank you so much for my friends here tonight. Lord, how much you love us and how much you care for us. And Father, I thank you that you do have a plan, even when it looks like there is no plan, or we don't know what we're doing, or we're just sailing around. We don't know which way is up or down or left or right. And Father, I thank you that even in those moments, you are there with us in the boat. Right now, God, you know the needs. You know what's going on. Right now, I just pray for strength. I thank you that you are the one who infuses us with your mighty power and with your strength. Oh, Lord, you're the one who leads us in the way that we should go. So, Father, we just surrender and we say, not us, not us, not me, you. Thank you, Father. We yield ourselves to you. And God, I know you. I know who you are. And I know that you speak to us and you have things to say to us. And I ask that, it would be more clear. And I ask, Father, that for the discipline, you said you give us self-control, the discipline in each of our lives to spend time listening to you. God, you know these people's hearts. You know where we're at tonight. And God, you're not asking something, oh, that's beyond us. Well, you are, but you give us the power to do it. It's something that's within reach. Father, to hear your voice, we can all do that on a daily basis. And so I just thank you for the confidence that we have in you, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and receive your mercy and your love tonight. So, Father, speak to us. We're listening.